Last time, I told you about the meaning of blameless and innocent. And I also told you that Jesus didn't cry out and he didn't quarrel. And blameless and innocent means the status of your heart filled with spirit, fruit of spirit. But there is one thing that you should understand first. Matthew 12:35, our Lord said, "The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil." When people speak the words that containing goodness or evil, we can distinguish whether they are evil or good. So we have to examine our words that we speak. The words we speak, whether they contain goodness or evil. So when we think about it, then we can realize. So don't just feel it. Try to remember what you said and whether you had ill feeling inside your heart by examining the words you spoke. If you do, then you can discover yourself. So we are pursuing goodness and love, right? So we have to watch out our lips and words that we speak. If you talk about others a lot and gossip and condemn, then you should see that how evil you are. But those who judge and condemn and those who gossip, they don't realize they are gossiping or they are condemning. But this time, try to look back on yourself and what kind of words you are saying. Whether it is the words of virtue, words of praising others, or words of, you know, gossiping others. Now, even when you talk about some others, you know, those words could be, you know, praising words or, you know, nagging words. Whether you are saying, you know, well, someone spoke, someone did this and entered the spirit, you know, praising others, or you're just gossiping about, you know, actions of others. So if you think you like to talk about others, I mean, if it is, you know, praising words, then it's okay. But if you, you know, talk about ill feelings, you know, while you're talking about something, some others, then you should know you got evil in you. And in the gossiping and judging and condemning, if you speak those words, then you're revealing your evil inside your heart. If you have hatred in your heart, such a hatred comes out through your words. You know, you used to cover faults when you're in good terms with your friends. But when you're not in good terms with them, you know, you reveal your ill feelings against, you know, those people. Some people control themselves very well, so they do not reveal their ill feelings. However, when they speak, the words contain his feelings about them. Aha, then we can see that they are evil. On the contrary, those with virtue, goodness, and love, their actions and their words are so beautiful and complete. So, those who can embrace everybody are gentle, and they speak words of virtue. You know, when people misunderstand them, but they don't get angry at them, and they try to listen to them and try to solve their problems with love and goodness. Those who sacrifice well, out of love, mercy, goodness, long endurance, and self-control, if they have this kind of fruit of spirit, you know, they can give out the beautiful fragrance of Jesus Christ in their words and actions. You know, perfume, you know, diminishes as time goes by. However, the fragrance of Jesus Christ coming out from the blameless and innocent man doesn't diminish. It rather revives even dying people. So we can call it the fragrance of life. Through this message, I hope that you can give life to those dying souls by resembling the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blameless and innocent. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will be blessed to give hope of salvation to those hopeless. Your words can become life-giving words, or your words can deprive life from others. You got to distinguish and examine yourself by examining, you know, your words that you speak. As I told you earlier, those who gossip, you know, those gossiping words are life-depriving words, okay? The words of judging and condemning, you know, this makes people disheartened and keep people, you know, life losing, okay? What about our shepherd? Even though he, you know, there are people who are under heavy pressure and burden, that especially they are under heavy burden of sin. And later I will explain, like, you know, the one who is not, you know, smoldering wick. When people listen to our shepherd, you know, people can realize their sin and get strength to repent and turn back. There is a pastor, and then there are souls who are under heavy burden of sin, and the strength that can you know, enlighten or, you know, reignite the light of salvation and the hope can be only given by our shepherd. That there are pastors who know about that. I don't have any, you know, there are people who are hopeless and no strength. But just as the Bible says, you know, when those such people come to our shepherd and they repent and turn back, you know, with the hope that, you know, they would like to be, you know, strengthened. Of course, you know, some people come with fear, you know, I will be severely, you know, punished. Of course, our shepherds talk about very flatly about the sin. Why did you commit that kind of sin? The sin will lead you to hell. Of course, our shepherd will tell you, but that's not it. He gives intercessory prayer so that, you know, we can, as long as we show the true repentance, then he strengthens us and encourages us to go to New Jerusalem together. You can do it. That's what our shepherd says. We remember his voice. This is such beautiful goodness. So compare this with your words that you speak. Words of condemning and pointing. Or life-giving words. Blameless words. Resembling the words of our Lord. Examining through this message, okay? The third one is, no one will hear our Lord's voice in the streets, as written in the Bible. Especially those who are loud try to learn the culture and discipline of our Lord. You know, from the third fact, we can see how beautiful and soft our Lord was. His, you know, attitude, his, you know, posture, and the words that he speak were blameless and innocent. Now, he was a man of culture and discipline. You have to understand why this kind of discipline and culture of the Lord was written in the Lord. The Bible just pointed out only the point, like this. He didn't hear, nobody heard his voice in the streets. So we have to realize why it is written in the Bible. Let's talk about our family and the discipline needed inside the family. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." We have to know the instruction and discipline of the Lord to teach them to our children. You know, when children do not grow up as they wish, and like, you know, punish them or yell at them, "Why do you behave like that?" You know, instead, you know, parents should learn the Lord's discipline and instruction first and teach them to your children, to their children. Children are the reflection of parents, right? Children learn the actions and behaviors from their parents. For example, there is a father who has quick temper. easily angry even at the table. Then a son who learns from this father naturally has a quick temper. But when he is very, little, then, his father can control him, right? Of course, when father is around the child, the son is very, controllable. But however, once the son grows up, his father cannot even control the son because the son is stronger and taller, right? Now he bursts his anger into his father. The father was surprised. My son didn't used to be like this. But the quick temper and anger that he learned from his father, naturally comes out. And he, bursts those anger into his father as well. But his father cannot do anything. The father cannot control. Then the father regrets when he is under trouble. I didn't, educate him well. However, he should know the quick temper and anger is all due to, father's fault. Because the son learned it from his father. So, the father, is to be blamed. So even the father tries to, change him, it's hard. It's almost impossible. Because, children are out of their control. However, in the truth, in Father God, they can change. How? First of all, parents should completely repent before Father God. Father God, I was angry. I got hot temper. I had quick temper. And my son learned from me. Now he's got quick temper, hot temper, and easily got angry. He has to repent like this. And then the father should change. He used to enjoy or use violence, but now he should change to become meek and gentle father. And then he has to pray to Father God, please, God the Father, please change my son. Then it will happen. The father can pray for his son. However, if the father does not change, it's useless. So father should change first after repentance and give intercessory prayer for the son. So then even the son is already grown up and his son can change. Now what about the relationship between, husband and wife? If both of them grew up in the Lord well, then the relationship would be very good. Say, wife came to the church and changed. She learned the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Then her husband would change. However, she didn't change. She is, complaining against her husband. She got ill feelings against her husband. But she tries to evangelize him. Then the husband will not listen to her. But the wife doesn't think, it was her fault. She has to put blame on herself, right? But instead, she says, my husband is so evil, he doesn't go to church. Her feelings, keep on growing up, right? If she changed according to the word and served the husband will follow, would follow her to come to church, right? Then they would be blessed and they would receive answer. And the family would be in peace. Bless the family. Not because the husband comes to church, but because the wife is already changed. That's why. Now what about the husband? Say, if you love your wife as if you love yourself and serve your wife with virtue and love, then wife and your children will respect their husband and father, and they will obey. So when the husband says, let's go to church, then the whole family will follow him. The entire family will be evangelized, and the family would become happy. However, even though the husband goes to church, he still gives instructions and by force, and had still quick temper, and then the family would not listen to him. So, everyday life If your words and behaviors change, then your family will change too. You've got to remember this. How to make your family happy? How to receive answer? It's up to you. You have to learn from the Lord by resembling His instruction and discipline. Then apply it to yourself. Then you will easily and quickly receive answer. Well, the instruction and discipline of the Lord is a must to enter spirit. Our shepherd talked about the insufficiency, the shortcomings of the flesh, right? However, discipline and instruction of the Lord makes you force you to come into spirit. Okay? However, once you come into spirit, then your words and behaviors would be the, you know, those of discipline and instruction. Why is that? Your posture, your behavior, your words contain your heart and your nature. If your heart is filled with love and virtue, then you will naturally serve and consider others. When you cast off evil from your heart, fill it with love, then once your heart is filled with the truth, then your words will be full of truth. Your behaviors will be full of truth. So discipline and instruction of the Lord will follow naturally. You naturally serve and consider others. You will not seek for your own benefit. If you do, you will not feel good. You don't like it. Let's say you will not do something that you don't like. Your behaviors follow your heart, right? People, you know, hate people because their hearts is filled with hatred. But if your heart is filled with goodness, then you will not do the actions to get your benefit only. Your heart is full of goodness and love. Then you will not gossip or judge others. So, it's discipline and instruction of the Lord naturally comes out from the circumcised heart. If you have love and goodness in you, then you will not seek for your benefit because your heart will not feel good. Your heart does not like, does not want it. Let's say you do something to do harm to others for your benefit, for your sake. You did that. And you know what? If you are a good person, then you will feel sorry for the other. Then you will surely say, I'm sorry, I apologize, and you will never do that again. But those who look for their benefit only, and even though they do harm to others, they don't feel it because they got some benefit. They like it. That's it. But that's rudeness. That means there is no gentleness or no love and goodness in their hearts. So if you have goodness in you, then you will naturally serve others. Since you serve others, you pursue love. The worldly people will say you are kind, and you are full of love, and you are good. You're a man of the culture. We're not talking about, you know, learning and mastering etiquettes or good manners. We try hard to learn the manners and the virtue and love of the Lord. As we do so, we seem to the eyes of the worldly people, kind, gentle, good. Therefore, if you long for spirit and all spirit, then you should circumcise your heart. And on top of that, if you have any, you know, some shortages of flesh in you, by not serving others well, by not, you know, considering others well, then think about them and try to change them as well. As you circumcise your heart, then you will change. And you will easily come into a spirit and all spirit. I'm going to talk about some stuff that you got to change and fix. Those who has quick temper usually walk quickly and they speak quickly. Before the other person finishes talking, they easily judge and interfere. they easily fall down or drop objects. Or at the table, they speak with their mouth full. And it is very rude, isn't it? Even though they repeat it, they don't fix it. Then they cannot resemble the Lord. Some people, swing their body as they walk. And they don't sit still. Some people, twist their the waist and they use fingers all the time. But let's imagine Jesus. How would he walk and how would he sit? Can you imagine? You gotta think of our Lord. Let's say you are a little bit twisting your waist as you sit on desk. Sit on chair. Well, you may say, I like it because it's comfortable. Of course, you can do that. Let's say you have some problem with your waist, but you gotta fix it, right? Especially you are workers of the church and pastors. You have many souls to take care of, right? When fleshly people come to our church, then they will look at you. Even though your heart is full of love and virtue, but your posture does not look good, then those fleshly people will not come. They will rather judge you and they will leave. So if you are workers and pastors of the church for the kingdom of God, as a great workers for the kingdom of God, then you got your outward gesture should be full of, the manners and etiquette. But you can do that as you think of, how our Lord walk and how our Lord would sit. Then you can imagine, he would look very gentle and meek and with great posture outwardly, right? And so whatever you do, try to resemble our Lord as you imagine our Lord. Some people look good. Some people look very, well-mannered. However, in the conversation, he might disappoint you. He looked good on the outside, but during the conversation, you got disappointed because you realized that his personality is not good. He gossip about others. Then you may think, I should not come close to him. He seems very good outwardly, but when you talk to him, then you can feel that, he will cover, he will, think of, he will talk about my, weaknesses to others. If you have conversation with people, then you can distinguish them, right? So there are people who seem to be good outwardly, but, by words that they speak, then we can distinguish that they are not good. The thing is that what I'm saying is that I'm actually delivering the message that our shepherd already explained. I concentrate on many words that you speak, right? The word of God, our Father God wants us to have in the goodness. Then our Father God surely tells us to watch our lips. James 3:2 says, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Especially when you convey words, it is very important to convey it as it is, correctly. If there are words that you should not convey, and when you have to convey those words, then it's very important to convey it as it is. Some people love to talk about what they heard, or some people add or put something to what they heard and make others misunderstand. But it is not trivial. You have to realize, as you discover your fault and mistakes in the words that you conveyed, and you have to realize that there is lie and untruthfulness in you. So as you fix and change your words that you can become complete. James 1:26 says, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. He looks very religious, but his words are not. Then he is not perfect. So if you long for spirit, then you got to watch out with your lips, words on your lips, and you will not speak the words of untruth or worldly words. Now, you have to examine how you speak as well. If you speak useless words a lot, if you speak without thinking, if you speak without thinking, let's have meal next time. Next time I call you, okay? Well, you are saying that it is just the greetings, right? That you say, okay, let's have dinner next time. You think it is just the greetings. However, if your heart is filled with untruth, then you don't mind. You don't remember. Because you say it as greetings. Well, nice to see you. Let's have dinner together next time. So people, but as they fill their hearts with the truth, then they will realize that they are not keeping what they said. Well, I told him that, let's have dinner one day, but I still haven't kept it. Then he will not feel good. Let's say he talked like that to 10 people. He does not, he will feel guilty because he hasn't kept, what he said. But after he kept all the words that he spoke, then he will not say it anymore. Let's have lunch or dinner together next time. He will not say that. He said this without thinking. Without thinking, it's quite important. There are words that you have to speak to someone. There is a person that you have to have dinner together for sure next time. Then you will say, let's have dinner together next time. You may say, I didn't make the correct in the promise. I didn't set the date yet, so I didn't make a promise. Well, if your heart is filled with the truth, then you will not say even the next time. And then the next day, if you said next time before, then the words will bother you a lot. As you fill your heart with the truth, then you will naturally keep those words. So you should not speak words without thinking. If you spoke something, you got to keep them. You will speak the words of truth only. Worldly people do this, that they just speak and they don't keep them. And they just say, well, I was talk like that as greetings, and didn't realize what was wrong. They spoke useless words a lot. When I have dinner with my Mrs. Bong Lim Lee and have a coffee, we have conversation, right? And there are people beside our table, right? Even though I don't try to eavesdrop, but sometimes we can hear what they're talking about. There were ladies in mid-ages, and they were talking, and I heard what they were talking. They were talking about celebs and drama, and they were talking about a male actor. They were saying, I love that man. Well, I thought they're in love with the man. They got nothing to do with the man, He's not their child. He's not their son. They have never met them. But they were talking like as if they were dating him. Then I realized that, this is what worldly people do. They say, they are fans. They looked like, already, married. But they talked about, they were talking about the man as if, they were, his girls. They were speaking useless words. But worldly people don't realize this. But we, my men, don't do that. We don't speak useless words. We don't use words that do not give life. We try to, you know, fill our heart with truth, and we try to speak the words of truth. How good! So, examining yourself, don't think of it as some burdensome. As you resemble perfect and blameless Lord, you're doing perfect, you're doing good job. So, don't think it troublesome, or don't think it's too much. Your words, your gesture, your posture, your behaviors, always examine them and remember how our Lord behaved as you resemble our Lord. There are people who speak with their mouth full. They spit as they speak, or they speak loud in a public place, and they are far from the state of blameless and innocent. Our shepherd once mentioned this as well. There are people who talk without smile. They look very frightened. Our shepherd said, we gotta fix that. You know, they don't feel bad, or they don't hate others, but such look and facial expression are already embedded in the body as they grew up in their family or in their environments. However, you should not make an excuse. This is my poor nature. I got no ill feelings against them. Instead of saying that, you gotta fix it quickly. Especially if you're a pastor or a worker of this church, you gotta fix that. Instead of saying, it's my born nature. I'm born like that. You have to show smile and brightness to someone that you talk to. You have to practice your facial expression as well. I'm not talking about that you gotta feel the fleshly affection. However, if your face got frightened when you're talking, then people will say, well, he is a pastor, but I don't think he feels good today. But if you deal with your good, face and smile, then they will feel good too. They will feel love your love. They will feel your virtue. And then they will easily come to church and change by the truth. I'm not talking about that you have to, earn their hearts with your face and your smile, okay? If you have that kind of facial expression, and if you think it is you're born like that, then try to fix it and change it to have a smiley face, especially as a worker and pastor of the church. Some people hit others during the conversation or point. Especially pointing means you are disregarding the counterpart or ignoring. Our shepherd also said if you murmur during the conversation, then you got to fix that too. Especially if you are a preacher, presider, or singer, you should fix this murmuring. And our shepherd made the good examples. But, well, if you're interested in, then try to listen to his lectures or his sermons, okay? Well, I'm talking about words, and I'm making some examples of the manners and discipline etiquettes of words that you speak, right? Our shepherd gave you detailed examples about them, so please refer to his sermons. If you talk too fast, or if your pronunciation is not correct, you gotta fix them. If you don't look at the eyes of the person you talk to, or you just look around without concentrating, or if you talk about your stuff without listening, you gotta fix that. If you look at your cell phone at the table or in a meeting, you don't consider them good enough. Nowadays, the worldly people do this a lot. If you go to a cafe or in a restaurant, you can see people at other tables. Even though they sit together, they don't look at each other. Instead, even while talking, they look at their cell phone. Love has cooled down on this earth, right? If you do, then you've got to fix that. So you have to look at them, make eye contact, and try to, you know, understand their hearts. I just talked about only a little of some shortcomings of the body, right? But there are many things to cover. How can I fix them all? How can I learn all disciplines and instruction of the Lord? It's impossible. Even when, you know, Pastor Soo-jin Lee said it, they're only little, but there are too many. Well, our shepherd said, try to imagine how our Lord would behave in this kind of situation. And if you think about it, the Holy Spirit inside your heart will help you. Even though you got like hundreds of things to fix, the Holy Spirit will not tell you all hundred things. But the Holy Spirit will tell you about only some examples and big things. And once you fix them, then He will tell you some other stuff as well. As you do this, then you can become a perfect man like our Lord by the help of the Holy Spirit. So, don't become hopeless. Try to think and imagine how our Lord will behave and try to fix yourself. Especially in your words that you speak. Because the words will show your manners and your heart and try to resemble our Lord. As you fill your heart with the heart and the goodness and love. Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. And Ephesians 4:29 says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. So whoever you talk to, you gotta talk with the manners of the Lord and give out the fragrance of Jesus Christ to all people. That our Lord didn't break off a battered reed and He didn't put out a smoldering wick. Now let's talk about a battered reed. 1 Peter 1:24 says, for all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off. And the grass and the flower are examples of life of man. Worldly people, especially who are successful, we call them, you know, they walking in the path of the flowers, right? So as you can see in the Bible compares in the grass and the flowers to the life of man. Likewise, the reed in this verse also refers to life. Especially, a battered reed refers to people who are hurt in their hearts in this evil world. Now, grass doesn't have spirit and soul. So once they wither, they just die out. However, men are given spirit, which is immortal. So his life is on this earth. On this earth is done, as Hebrews 9:27 says, in as much as it is appointed for a man to die once, and after this comes judgment. Once the life is done, those who believe in Jesus Christ would be saved and go to heaven, but those who don't accept Jesus Christ will fall into hell and they will suffer in the fire of hell forever. So even though people enjoy their prosperity and, you know, wealth on this earth, but if they go to hell and suffer in fire, then his life on this earth would not be better than the life of grass. They are even worse than, you know, grass. Once they, you know, dry out in the scorching sun, they would just die. But souls, people, once they die, they will suffer in the unquenching fire of hell. And Jesus said in Matthew 6:29, yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. It does not mean that Solomon was not saved. It rather talks about the fact that even people enjoy their wealth and richness and fame, if their soul is not saved, then all their wealth and richness and fame would be worthless. Think about the history. Those who had wealth and honor, we can see they're all worthless and vain. The fame and honor and authority would not go forever. It doesn't last forever. But the people might lose their authority or their power. And they will be accused of all the wrongdoings when they had authority and power. But once they lost their power and authority, their life would become miserable. But that's not the end. You know, eventually they will fall into hell because of the evil that they did. Matthew 6:30 says, "But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" Father God treasures even grass like this. Now, God created you in the image of Father God. So when you lost the image and be devoured by the enemy, devil, and Satan, would God forsake you? No. If he had done like that, you would not be here now. Even though there are people with full of unrighteousness, as long as he has even a little bit of conscience to repent, then Father will not give up. Father God will endure till the end. That's the heart of our Lord. That's why Matthew 12:20 says, "A battered reed he will not break off." Even though I said, and let's think about our shepherd. Our shepherd just resembled our Lord. By his words and word power of God, he showed Father God is alive and made people repent and turn back. However, some of them went back to the world and they did evil. But even though they did so, our shepherd prayed to Father God to give them another chance. Even though shepherd's life is at stake, he prayed for them. That was the heart of our Lord and of God. Our shepherd made this church as big as it is now. However, our shepherd, always think about those who do evil and commit sin. But those in the people don't like to hear about the sin and evil that they do. And they hate it, and they just do more evil. Even though there are people like that, our shepherd wants them to repent and turn back. Why? Because he knows such a dreadful hell. Since he knows about hell so much, they used to be my members. I cannot forgive them. I cannot forgive them to go to hell. Even by sacrificing himself, he tries hard to lead them to God so that they could be saved. That's the look and heart of our shepherd, just like our Lord. By the grace of our Father and the Lord and our Shepherd, we are here. Then we gotta resemble that too. Even though we have evil people around us, even though they commit sin and evil, we don't have any power to forsake them. If Father God accepts them and forgives them, it's good, right? Until he does that, we have to pray for them. If we have such goodness, then Father God will be pleased with us. Well, he is so evil. He should be forsaken. Why do you pray for him? Why do you fast? Would Father will say so? No. When we pray for him and fast for him, then Father God will say, "You are doing good, my beloved son." Now, what is a smoldering wick? The wick of a candle is the piece of string in it, which burns when it is lit. A smoldering wick means the light would become strong. Well, our shepherd talked about it too. Young people, young students do not know what wick is, right? But now you can see it on screen. But smoldering wick means there is a hope of light. It's almost done. Only little left. If it is a lamp, there's only a little bit of oil left. So there is a small light. That's the smoldering wick. And this wick refers to souls. Proverbs 13:9 says, the light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked goes out. As you can see, the Bible compares the wick with life of souls. A smoldering wick he will not put out. It means, even though people are stained by evil world, if there is even a little bit of wick left, then Father God and the Lord will not put it out. In other words, if they have even a little bit of conscience to accept the Lord as their Savior, then Father God waits and gives them grace. So a bitter reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out, until he leads justice to victory. About them, until he leads justice to victory. Let's talk about justice. It contains the meaning of judgment. All souls of this earth will face judgment. But Father God doesn't want to lose anyone. That's why he is giving all kinds of opportunities to people. But however, this justice is not applied at the judgment place. Actually, there are people who are receiving this judgment on this earth. John 3, verse 17 and 18, our Lord said, for God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him, through our Lord Jesus Christ. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. All people will face the great white throne judgment, which is final judgment. However, the judges, they are judged already by, depending on whether they save as they believed in Jesus Christ or not. Those who believed in Jesus Christ and received the Holy Spirit, revive their dead spirit. And as they become the children of God, their names are written in the book of life. They will receive the blessing of eternal life. However, those who don't believe in Jesus Christ would come in sin, and they will live their life as a slave of sin, and they will eventually fall down to hell. People who do not accept the Lord will say that they live a good life. However, since they cannot cast off sin by themselves, they cannot be saved. So those who don't believe in God and the Lord are already judged, said the Bible. Now you are saved. Your names are written in the book of life. So you gained eternal life. We're already judged. Your names are written in the book of life. But those whose names are not written in the book of life, they already received the punishment of hell. But that's not it. Father God does not say this is the end. Those whose names are not found in the book of life, their life is dead. Their life is at dead end. That's not what Father God says. Father God gives them opportunities until they can receive salvation. Now, what about those whose names are written in the book of life? My names are already in the book of life, and that's it. I'm inside the boundary of salvation. Now I can be at peace. Well, no. Of course, your mind is at peace. But if you live in the light, then you should keep the peace all the time. However, if you not live in the will, in the truth and love, then you can be out of the boundary. Some people commit sin, some people betray the Lord. There are people like that. So until their life is done on this earth, they should never put out the light of life. So the Holy Spirit is given to us so that we can receive help from the Holy Spirit until we become perfect children of God. John 16:8 says, And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. The Holy Spirit will reside and dwell in the believing people. And until they reach heaven safely, they always inspire them and lead them in the truth and help their weakness. However, our Lord and Father God take care of people until they are led to justice. Father God and the Lord gives them chance all the time. And those who are saved already, He enjoys us by giving us chance of salvation without, putting out a smoldering wick. And until we receive perfect, salvation, until we become perfect, bride of the Lord, the Holy Spirit dwells in us so that we can win victory in our life all the time. Now, once you receive the Holy Spirit, if you commit sin willfully, then you will not receive the spirit of repentance. Then the Holy Spirit will be finally be quenched. It does not mean that your spirit will be quenched after committing some sins a couple of times. However, if you commit sin leading to death, if you commit sin again and again after repentance, if you ignore the voice of the Holy Spirit, and if you deceive God, then the Holy Spirit cannot reside and dwell inside your heart. Holy Spirit tells you not to commit sin. But you ignore Him. And you deceive God. You say, I will never do that. You say that in your repentance. But after your repentance, after you are forgiven, you commit the same sin again and again and again. Such repeated sins will develop into sin leading to death, and the Holy Spirit will completely leave. However, even there is a little bit of light is left. When the Holy Spirit is not completely quenched, then Father God never gives up until He repents and turns back and comes to salvation. Father God gives countless chances. He gives grace as we listen to message. He makes us sing praises shed tears as we sing praises. And we feel the love of the Lord and the Shepherd. These are all the chances that Father God gave to us. Sometimes He refines us, and that's the love of Father God. Hebrews 12 verses 5 and 6 says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by Him. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives." Father God gives us grace so that we can look back on ourselves and repent through diseases and some hardships. However, if you don't hold on to that chance, if you don't repent, then the wick will be put out. Then Father God will not do anything. And Father God will not even punish you. Hebrews 12:8 says, "If you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons." So let's say if you are in the trials and refinement, think of it as the love of Father God. Father God waits long, Father God endures long, and Father God gives you opportunities. Then you should never forget by remembering that. Even after you commit sin, you don't feel anything in your heart. You just look at the world, and you just go to the world. Then your heart already became dull. And once the Holy Spirit inside your heart and the quenches, then you will lose the chance of salvation. So if you are under the refinement or trials, I'm not saying that if you are not in the refinement, you are not given opportunities anymore. Father God continues to give you grace until you realize and repent and turn back, right? So hold on to the chance as soon as possible. This message is not for worldly people. this message is for you. You receive such love after you accept the Lord. And that love still continues as Father God waits, endures for long until we become perfect children of God. Father God knows the weakness of man, so He gives a lot of chances and He never gives up. Now, those who don't believe in the Lord, even though they live in sin and stand against God, then however, our Lord still knocks on the door of their hearts until they open it. Until they accept Jesus Christ as Savior and receive the Holy Spirit. Until they become children of God. Until their names are written in the book of life. Until then, our Lord keeps knocking on the doors of their hearts like this. Let me conclude this message. So far, I've told you about the blameless and innocent Jesus, and also talked about the manners and discipline of the Lord. He will not, break off the reed, and He will not put out the smoldering wick. This church and the role of this church is very important. Sin and evil are so rampant in the world. People do not know what sin is. So they easily commit sin. They drink and judge. They fall easily into the pleasure of this world. So in this such a world, this church has great duty. As I said earlier, the world is full of sin. And people do not know what is sin. They easily commit sin. In this end time, they drink, they eat, they easily indulge into worldly pleasure. They rush toward hell. They consider what they see is the whole world. Now, how can help them to have faith and receive salvation? How can we make them cast off such pleasure? But hope for eternal heaven and cast off sin and pray. How can we make them live a holy life? Father God feels so sorry in heaven. However, He cannot just appear and say, I'm alive. He cannot do that. So His heart is burning and feels sorry for those souls. Even after He gave up His only begotten Son as atoning sacrifice for sinners. Now, it is our duty to explain that to worldly people. Father God is giving opportunity of salvation and love to worldly people through amazing power that can be manifested by the servant of God. That's why our shepherd has sacrificed himself with tears out of love for those souls. The preachers who talk about the power of God and the gospel of holiness are the messengers of Father God's love. I hope you spread this love of God to whole people. Just like those in the bruised reed and the smoldering wick easily come back to the Lord. And I hope you can evangelize them through prayers and faithfulness. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that as you become, your light enlightens this whole world and embrace them, those who are hurt in their heart.
Hallelujah, Almighty Father God of love. Please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.